the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Closing arguments in the criminal trial of former President Donald Trump went into the night, says CBS's Matt Piper.
These closing arguments were really long, especially from the prosecution. Experts say you lose the jury at 2 hours on both sides, but this took the whole day Tuesday. This all came after a six-week trial involving 20 witnesses, the main one Michael Cohen. The defense called him a liar. Prosecutors say they did not choose him. Donald Trump did.
The jury will get its instructions in the morning and could begin deliberating soon after. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum says listen closely to what the judge tells the jury.
Pay attention to how much the jury instructions are devoted to federal campaign finance laws and whether Donald Trump may have violated them by having paid Stormy Daniels silence. And in doing so, he may have violated the law on how much money he was permitted to donate to his campaign. But the jury didn't hear much of any evidence on this theory of the case. The defense wanted to call an elections law expert, but the judge wouldn't allow them to do so.
There's been an extraordinary apology from the Pope after reports emerged that he used a gay slur. CBS's Vicky Barker reports from the Foreign Desk.
Italian media have reported Pope Francis used an off-color derogatory term about gay men in a supposedly private meeting with Italian bishops last week. Now the Vatican says the pontiff never intended to use a homophobic term and that he apologizes to anyone who was offended.
It's been a tough few days in Texas as severe storms pummeled parts of the state, and reporter Chris Fox in Austin says more storms are on the way.
Severe weather packing hurricane force winds continues to pummel Texas. Out of state utility crews have been called in to help restore power. Dallas was hit Tuesday morning, then Houston got the brunt of the front in the afternoon. One was killed in the Houston area when a house under construction collapsed. More storms expected to hit Houston and Dallas today.
Major League Baseball on Wednesday will reportedly integrate statistics from the Negro League into its official records. USA Today baseball columnist Bob Nightingale broke the story.
You know, it's not fair. Black players weren't allowed to play baseball, Major League Baseball, until 1947 with Jackie Robinson. There's several Negro League players in the Hall of Fame. Let's count their stats and see what they really are.
Major League Baseball has been considering merging those stats since 2020. Closing arguments are scheduled for Wednesday in the case of a man from Idaho accused of killing his wife and his girlfriend's two youngest children. Prosecutors say Chad Daybell used apocalyptic spiritual beliefs to justify the murders. Daybell's attorneys say there isn't enough evidence to tie his client to the deaths. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Supporters of Donald Trump say they have enough signatures to force a recall election of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. That's after their first attempt came up short. Petition circulators say they have more than 8,000 signatures from voters in the district where Voss was elected in 2022. Voss has 10 days to challenge the signatures. Federal transportation leaders say they're looking into adding more new passenger train service in Wisconsin. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says people in Wisconsin want to take the train.
There's no reason why Americans should settle for less in terms of our quality and reliability of passenger rail compared to any other country. That's what this is really about.
Buttigieg speaking with WYSN-TV's Up Front. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Brewers and Cubs go extra innings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Another crazy Brewers and Cubs game at American Family Field. Cubs pitcher Ben Brown pitched a no-hitter through seven innings. Manager Craig Counsell.
I mean, I thought it was the fastball. It was like an angry fastball. I mean, it was just really good, and it was overpowering for much of the game. So, you know, he threw a ton of strikes. Fastball was excellent.
Top of the 10th, Brewers closing pitcher Trevor McGill had to leave the game after getting hit in his throwing arm on a comeback hit going 99 miles an hour. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
It's not fraction.
The extent of what you know at this point?
Yeah, I mean, he got drilled pretty hard. He's going to be
it's going to be good and sore for a while.
The Brewers ended up losing 6-3. Milwaukee's Freddy Peralta pitched well, but still has not earned a win this month.
It's hard because I don't, when I perform like well, you know, I want to win, but I want the team to win.
That's Brewers pitcher Freddy Peralta. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A partly cloudy sky to take us through the overnight. Light north winds, and by daybreak we'll be in the mid-40s. Mostly sunny skies, upper 60s for your Wednesday. Light winds, warmer on Thursday. Sunshine and highs of the lower 70s. Currently 49 degrees.
Todd Albaugh.
Everybody, join us next time when we welcome back Pat Kreitler of Up North News Radio and Trigby Olson on the Lincoln Project. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to Matinair on Air. This is not Jane Matinair. You might be wondering whose voice you're listening to. I am Joe Zepecki. Jane is extending the long weekend. Good for her. If she's listening, Jane, we miss you. You are missed, mostly by your number one fan in the studio, Aurora. And Greg, as I understand it, is in Washington, D.C. today. I hope he's staying out of trouble. I hope the weather there is cooperating. It is a beautiful Wisconsin day so far. Although there are forecasts for another round of storms later today, everybody stay safe out there. We are coming out of the long Memorial Day weekend. I hope that everyone had an opportunity to take some time, recharge their batteries, and also, very importantly, to reflect on the meaning of Memorial Day and why we have that day off of work. It is not just because it's the start of the summer. It is because many Americans have given the ultimate sacrifice, what former President Lincoln called the last full measure of devotion in service of this country. They are the reason for the holiday. We honor their sacrifice, their loss. We are thinking of the families of all of those who gave their life in service of this country. And with that, let's get into it. I'm sitting in today. It's been a while since Jane had me on the show, so I miss all of our listeners. And I'm an open book today. So if you want to ask Joe Zepecki, that's me, anything at all about the state of the world, about the state of our politics, hit us up on the text line. Give us a call, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Or on the Civic Media app. We have a big jam-packed hour for this first hour. We will be joined in just a few moments by State Senator LaTanya Johnson, or as I call her, the good Senator Johnson. This morning at the recombobulation area, you guys know Dan Schaefer, know him well. Dan's Substack, the recombobulation area, just posted a column from State Senator LaTanya Johnson about voting rights at this time in and moment in our history. According to the column, Senator Johnson had the opportunity recently to attend and participate in a roundtable discussion with Senator Tammy Baldwin on voting rights, where among the topics of conversation were two federal pieces of legislation, the Freedom to Vote Act and the John Lewis Civil Rights Advancement Act, both pieces of legislation that Senator Baldwin has supported, is supporting currently, and are awaiting action. So we'll talk to Senator Johnson about that coming up in just a few minutes. We're also going to visit with Protect Our Care President Leslie Dock. Protect Our Care is an advocacy organization I've had the opportunity to work with over the years, designed to defend the Affordable Care Act. As we know, since that law was passed in 2011 and signed into law by former President Obama, Republicans have tried time and 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 time again to repeal the Affordable Care Act. They've failed, and they're not stopping, even though our current president, Joe Biden, and Democrats in Congress were able to build on the Affordable Care Act through the Inflation Reduction Act and continue to expand access and lower drug costs for millions of Americans. Leslie Dock is going to visit us to talk about some of what's been accomplished and some of what is at stake in regards to health care in this election season that we find ourselves in. A little closer to home in the second hour, we'll talk about some state politics issues, including some news today about an ongoing debate, maybe a nascent debate over Delta 8 in the state legislature. And of course, we will talk about the big story today outside of a federal courtroom, a state courtroom in Manhattan. The Biden campaign just held a little press conference with Communications Director Michael Tyler, Robert De Niro, and one of the January 6th heroic officers, Michael Fanone, as inside the courtroom, closing arguments are being made in what's been referred to as the hush money trial of former President Donald J. Trump. We will update you as those arguments are being made. We will talk about what it all means if a conviction comes back, if it's a hung jury. We can get into the politics of it, although hard for me to make the case that anything having to do with the rule of law ought to be about our politics. But hey, this is where we find ourselves in 2024. Again, feel free to join the conversation, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Or on the Civic Media app. I am Joe Zupecki in for Jane and Greg today. And I did want to share before our first break, before we get into the conversation with State Senator LaTanya Johnson, some news that I did not expect this morning. I always forget that there is something called the corpse flower. What is that? I don't know. I just know it stinks to high heaven. And so if the corpse flower and really nasty smelling flowers are your thing, the corpse flower is in full bloom today at the Mitchell Park Domes. So go check it out if you're into that kind of thing. We've got a few minutes here before we get to State Senator LaTanya Johnson. So I want to spend a few minutes talking about what's going on in New York today. The Trump trial, the first one, has been going on for about a month. And the issue at stake here is, of course, the falsification of business records relating to the cover-up of an affair that Donald Trump had with adult actress Stormy Daniels, and the conspiracy to keep that information from voters before the 2016 election. That, to me, is what this is ultimately about, is a conspiracy to prevent voters from having full information before they cast their ballots in 2016. The hijinks around the 2020 election are far more understood, much more in people's faces. It feels more recent and relevant than the hijinks around the 2016 campaign. And a couple things on this. The first of which is, whatever verdict comes back from the jury, I don't think there's any question that Donald Trump had this affair. We heard very moving testimony from Stormy Daniels about that encounter. Pretty gross, in my opinion, I think in anybody's opinion. And at the time of that encounter, the president's third wife was home with his infant son, Barron. And that in and of itself is not behavior that anyone would condone from their son, their brother, their father. And yet many Americans are still ride or die for Donald Trump and say, this is all a witch hunt, as if there's nothing wrong with cheating on your wife while your wife is home with an infant, and then conspiring and spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to prevent the world from finding out about this because you're worried about what it's going to mean for you politically. And the timing on this conspiracy is not an accident. This all happened, this came to a head after the Access Hollywood tape emerged in the 2016 election. I was about a month out where former President Trump was caught on tape saying things I will not repeat on air because I don't want to be fined, but speaking totally out of pocket, totally inappropriately about his preferred method of interacting with women because he's a celebrity. And in the wake of that scandal, what we know is that the Republican Party and the high command of the Trump campaign was in full-on meltdown. Reince Priebus, the chair of the RNC at that time, was telling President Trump to drop out or face certain defeat. And so with that being the political reality, they scrambled to do everything they could to prevent additional shoes from dropping. They didn't want the American public to know about this Stormy Daniels affair, and we didn't find out about it until later. The voting happened in 2016 before we knew this. The assumption is that if you could hop in a time machine and rerun the 2016 campaign, where you had the Access Hollywood tape come out, and then you had that followed up very quickly by news that former President Trump had cheated on his wife with an adult entertainer while his wife was home with an infant, I will remind you again, that would have been it. That even people who were on the fence would have said, you know what, this is too much. This is not somebody with the character to be commander-in-chief or president of the United States. And they would have been right because of everything that we saw during President Trump's first term. And so the closing arguments here are being made. And so far we've heard from Trump's lawyers, the defense counsel, making their case. And I got to tell you, based on the reporting from the courtroom I'm seeing, they're not saying he's innocent. They're saying there's a technicality here. And they're not going for an acquittal. They're going for a hung jury. I imagine before we are done today, we will hear from the prosecution, at least some of their closing argument. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air across the Civic Media Radio Network. On the other side, we should be joined by State Senator LaTanya Johnson. If you've got a few minutes before the break, head to the recombobulation area. Check out the new column from State Senator LaTanya Johnson. We're going to talk about it in just a minute after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt and Air on Air.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, let's tackle a big question in a short amount of time. How much money do you need to save for retirement? It's not the same for everybody. If you think 10 times your annual pre-retirement income, that's in the right ballpark. But what is pre-retirement income? And how do I save that much money? Okay, don't stress about the big number. The simplest and most effective way I know is to save about 15% of your income each year. If you're starting later in life, like in your 40s, you probably have to save more than that 15%. But the bottom line is, start saving now as much as you can and put it in retirement accounts where it can grow. Some savings is always better than none. Now, there's an awful lot more to say about this topic, which I did over on my YouTube channel. You can check it out if you want to dive in deeper. Search for Work Money Media on YouTube. Till then, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What would you think if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key.
Matinair on air. This is Joe Zepecki in for Jane. We will be joined in just a moment here by State Senator LaTanya Johnson, who has a new column at the Recombobulation Area, working toward a more perfect union, the crucial need for voting rights legislation. As we work to get Senator Johnson hooked up and in the chat here, the good Senator Johnson here with us on Matinair on air. I want to read you just a little bit of this. To give you a sense of the conversation we're going to have in this column, Senator Johnson calls for passage of the Freedom to Vote Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act, calling them crucial steps towards protecting our democracy. I'm copying and pasting and trying to get all of this out at the moment. But in the meantime, head to the Recombobulation Area. Dan Schaefer is often a guest and host on this program, so you know Dan well. We love the Recombobulation Area, and we appreciate his authorship and paying attention to the news so that we can all be informed. All right, we will have Senator Johnson in just a moment here, again discussing the column by State Senator LaTanya Johnson focused on two pieces of federal voting rights legislation. Senator Johnson was able to join a roundtable discussion with Senator Tammy Baldwin, I believe late last month, to talk about these issues. Among the things that Senator Johnson shares in this column is that she actually had the opportunity to meet the late, great John Lewis. We're hoping to ask her about that as soon as we get her on the horn here. In the meantime, I will remind everyone that you can join the conversation at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842, or on the Civic Media app. It's been a while since I've been around, so we are going to have an edition of Ask Joe Anything about the state of the world, about our politics, about the Trump v. Biden or Baldwin v. Hovde campaign, you name it. We can get into it. It's all fair game. On the app, I think we may have the senator here. Senator, are you with us?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry for being late. I had technical difficulties and could not get signed on.
That's okay. It is great to hear your voice. I hope you had a nice long weekend. Thanks so much for taking the time. Tell us, we have been talking about the column up now at the Recombobulation Area, but set the stage for us. This was a follow-on to an event that you did with U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin late last month, focusing on voting rights. Tell us about that conversation and what you took away from it.
So it was a really interesting conversation with some phenomenal people that were on the panel. I was just so impressed by the different diversity that was on that stage. And basically, with all of us being on the stage, minority members of the community, the takeaway was that voting rights is important, especially for members of color and BIPOC communities, because for so many of our communities, the disparities that exist, the only way for us to get help for our communities is through legislation, especially bold acting legislation. And the only way to get to that is to make sure that we maintain the right to vote at the polls and to make sure that we can turn out as many people as possible to utilize that right to vote. And so there were a series of conversations and so much just really, really good information. I wish everyone could have just had an opportunity to witness this panel.
Yeah. You know, we've seen in the wake of the 2020 election, this big lie and so much disinformation that would be deliberately false information and then misinformation, mistakes that people make. And in that conversation, as I understand it, there were some local Wisconsin-focused challenges that election administrators face, that people are concerned about heading into this election. And at the federal level, there's obviously some things that have been done. The Electoral Count Act has been reformed in the wake of January 6th. And the argument that Senator Baldwin and her colleagues who are pushing these pieces of federal legislation makes, as I understand it, is two parts. First of which is, to restore faith in democracy, you have to prove that you can get something done to improve the democracy. And there are actual things in these bills that will help in terms of restoring the Voting Rights Act, which has been steadily, you know, taken out limb from limb by the Roberts Court, getting rid of some of the dark money in our politics. Talk about what that message would send if we were able to pass federal legislation, because with a Republican-controlled legislature here in Wisconsin, we can't do it. What would it say to those communities you mentioned if at the federal level we were able to improve our elections?
It would say that their votes matter and that they're going to be protected. So many times, just going door to door here in Milwaukee, when you knock on those doors and you talk to voters, especially in disenfranchised communities, about the importance of voting and wanting to get them out so they can have their voices heard, so many people on the other side of those doors think that their votes don't matter and that they don't count because they see all of the things that my Republican colleagues do here just to try and keep them away from the polls and to keep their votes from counting. And the federal level, making sure that, you know, that continues to be protected there at that level. I had the opportunity to meet John Lewis when he was alive at the red carpet for the rolling out of Selma. And just to hear his story and just to see him in person and know the struggles that he went through all those many years ago. And to know that a lot of those same struggles still exist. And it's not because we have a shortage of individuals who are willing to fight for us or who's willing to fight, period, to have those rights restored and to have them signed into law. It's because the people who have the power choose not to want that legislation to be in place because they want to keep fewer and fewer people who look like me and other BIPOC communities from voting. That's why it's so important to have Tammy Baldwin where she is, because we all know that our government a lot of times doesn't reflect the community. And when you don't have minorities in positions of power, the greatest thing that you can have is an ally. And that's what we found in Tammy.
Well said, Senator Johnson. The column is Working Toward a More Perfect Union, the Crucial Need for Voting Rights Legislation. You can read that online at the recombobulation area. Senator, thank you so much for taking a few minutes. We know you're busy. We will see you soon. Keep up the fight. We appreciate you very much. Come on back after this. More on Matt and Air on Air.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. The jury in the criminal trial of former President Donald Trump will hear instructions on Wednesday and could begin deliberating soon after. CBS's Robert Costa reports a Trump attorney angered the judge during closing arguments.
Tensions flared when lead defense attorney Todd Blanche told the jurors, "You cannot send somebody to prison," based upon the words of Michael Cohen. That enraged Judge Juan Merchan, who clarified a prison sentence is not required in this case, even in conviction, and instructed them to disregard the remark.
At least 24 people have died in severe storms over the Memorial Day weekend, among them Jeremiah Dory's 80-year-old grandmother, Linda, who was killed when a tree was blown onto her home in northwestern Arkansas.
She was an amazing woman, sweet as could be, help anyone out. Even if she was mad at you, she still take care of you first, make sure you're fed or something, and then, you know, get back mad at you afterward.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The law that took union rights away from most public sector workers in Wisconsin is back in court. Arguments in a Madison courtroom Tuesday are part of a new effort to get Act 10 overturned. Law faces a new challenge now that the state Supreme Court has flipped to liberal control. If you have loved ones with Alzheimer's, experts say communication skills are important if they start to feel overwhelmed at big summer gatherings.
Someone says, "Oh boy, I'm not feeling well. I gotta go home. Okay, tell us what home means to you. What is it like at the home? Oh, you grew up on so-and-so Avenue. Tell us about that. Don't say, remember this, remember that."
Kristen Cusato is a spokesperson for the Alzheimer's Association. Experts recommend smaller get-togethers for people with dementia instead. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Variety has posted the predictions for Emmy Award nominations for Best Supporting Actor in the Comedy category. 8 of the top 10 nominees come from just 3 shows: FX's The Bear, Max's Hacks, and ABC's Abbott Elementary. Representing The Bear are Eben Moss Bachrach, Oliver Platt, Maddie Matheson, and Lionel Boyce. Paul Downs and Carl Clemens Hopkins are from Hacks, and Tyler James Williams and Chris Brighetti from Abbott Elementary. Richard Lewis is predicted to receive a posthumous nomination for Curb Your Enthusiasm. The title for the latest installment in the Knives Out franchise has been revealed. The Hollywood Reporter sprung the news that Wake Up Dead Man, a Knives Out mystery, will debut on Netflix sometime next year. Director Rian Johnson revealed the title on his ex-Twitter page, as well as the fact that Daniel Craig will be back as the lead in the latest installment of the whodunit franchise. If they keep making Knives Out films, it's going to seem unbelievable that anyone would be seen at a dinner party with Daniel Craig. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A partly cloudy sky to take us through the overnight. Light north winds, and by daybreak we'll be in the mid-40s. Mostly sunny skies, upper 60s for your Wednesday. Light winds, warmer on Thursday. Sunshine and highs of the lower 70s. Currently 49 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest, Mr. James Causey. One of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
Next time on the John and Gordy Family Show, we'll be live from Short Stack Eatery.
And we'll have as a guest Rachel Barnhart from Up Together talking about universal basic income.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 until 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. I am Joe Zepecki, your guest host in for Jane and Greg. They'll be back tomorrow, as I understand it. We've got some great questions coming in for the Ask Joe Anything segment we're going to do a little bit later in the show. If you want to join the conversation, it's 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842 or on the Civic Media app. Before we get to Ross from Crawford County or Cam and Nina or Sue from the 414, we are joined by a distinguished guest, Mr. Leslie Dock from Protect Our Care. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm good. Glad to see you.
Good to see you. Hope you got some nice rest over the long weekend. Leslie Dock is the president of Protect Our Care, an advocacy organization founded to defend the Affordable Care Act, and these days celebrate some of the successes in building on the Affordable Care Act. I want to start there because there's some new Navigator polling out on the issue of healthcare that surveyed people on what they think of what President Joe Biden and Democrats in Congress were able to get done via the Inflation Reduction Act. Walk us through that polling and what you think it means.
Well, I think it shows once again why healthcare is such an important issue to Americans. I mean, I think we all know this ourselves and our families. If somebody gets sick, comes down with cancer, it takes over our lives. We worry. We worry about their health. We worry about the bills. And it doesn't matter what political party you're in, where you live, what you do for a living. It is the kitchen table issue, particularly when things go south. And in all of our families, things go south.
Yeah.
It's also the cost of healthcare is puts people into bankruptcy, and not to mention severe anxiety. And so at a time where people are worried about the cost of living, being able to Joe Biden being able to reduce the cost of health insurance or reduce the cost of drugs is a understandable and meaningful answer to the pressure people face economically. And then the third part of this kind of triangle is that there's incredible contrast between what the Democrats have done and propose to do and what Donald Trump has done and proposes to do. So when you put those things together, it becomes a very potent political issue and a very potent issue in people's lives. So just on the specifics of the polling, there are a number of quite interesting findings. First, reducing the price of prescription drugs is ranked as Joe Biden's number one accomplishment in his presidency.
And this is an accomplished president.
It is an accomplished president. But it just shows how deeply these issues pierce. The other thing is that it's incredibly bipartisan. So that giving Medicare the power to negotiate for lower prices, capping the insulin at $35 a month, those have 80 to 90% approval ratings with Republicans, independents, and Democrats, no matter where you live. And so it's sort of no surprise, too, that it's an issue that you can campaign on no matter where you're campaigning. So if you're in coal country, you can talk about healthcare. If you're in rural America, you can talk about healthcare. If you're in urban America, you can talk about healthcare. And it's a very rare political issue that polls in the 80s, no matter what demographic location you go to. So it's not a surprise that in the studies of where Democrats are advertising at the beginning of this campaign, that healthcare is right below abortion in terms of the spend.
Another critical healthcare issue.
Another critical healthcare issue. So the last thing we now see is that in the past, people would say, well, maybe ACA, the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, was a highly unpopular and kind of almost a political punching bag. I worked at HHS as senior counsel to the Secretary of Health and Human Resources for the first open enrollment that occurred after the little problem we had with the webpage, and at a time when Republicans controlled the Congress. And all we were trying to do was to keep the thing above water and show that it could actually work. And Barack Obama always said that it will be part of the fabric of America. And that's what's happened now. So it's actually, it's the law itself is quite popular.
Indeed. I want to make sure we don't forget some of these things. I don't want our listeners to miss the point. So in the Inflation Reduction Act, a couple of things happened. So from right now, the law of the land, if you are a senior on Medicare, you will not pay more than $35 a month out of pocket for your insulin. That was one of the first provisions of the Inflation Reduction Act that went into effect. People are already feeling that. And as I understand it, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Leslie, but in the wake of this, we have seen some of the drug makers cap at $35 for people who aren't on Medicare, for younger consumers. Talk about how widely spread that's been. Was that an expected outcome of all this?
It was hoped for, but it shows them reading. Well, first, it shows their greed because they can make money at $35.
Yep.
They were charging us hundreds of dollars.
Indeed.
And secondly, it shows the fact that they're incredibly unpopular.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people are sick and tired of paying four times for these drugs in America as anywhere else in the world.
Yeah. We've got a gentleman here in Wisconsin who actually is appearing in an ad with Senator Tammy Baldwin right now. It was a great story to tell. The first day his pharmacy opened, I believe it was in January of 2023, when the $35 cap went into effect, he was the first in line, first at the register, you know, expecting that $35. They hadn't even pushed that through the system yet, and he had to explain to the person checking him out, oh, no, there's a new law. You can't charge me more than $35 for this. So we know that people were expecting it, they're excited about it, and it's had an impact. And then Leslie Dock, who is the president of Protect Our Care and is with us on Matt and Air on Air, you also mentioned Medicare drugs. So explain to folks what is happening to lower the cost of drugs and why this is so important that Medicare can finally negotiate for lower drug costs. Give us a little bit of the history and where we go on this.
You know, for years, basically, Medicare has been barred by law from negotiating with the drug companies for lower prices. Now, you know, think about this. Walmart gets to negotiate with suppliers. Target gets to negotiate with their suppliers. They just don't accept the price. But Medicare, 65 million Americans, basically had to pay whatever the drug companies wanted to charge. And it was outrageous. And the Republicans in the House and the Senate fought this tooth and nail, taking the side of the big drug companies. But now, and we'll... this year, 10 of the most expensive drugs that many people pay tens of thousands of dollars a year for will now have a negotiated price. And we expect to see those prices come substantially down. And every year we'll be negotiating for more. All the while maintaining all the incentives for innovation and discovery that the drug companies have today. And there are others that we should slow down and mention too. Free essential vaccines, shingles, pneumonia, oftentimes costing people hundreds of dollars a shot, now free. Also, the total amount of spending that any one person can spend out of pocket for drugs will be capped at $2,000 a year beginning in January 1st. If you're a cancer patient taking multiple very expensive medicines, that's a lifesaver and a bankruptcy saver for people.
Yeah. So that's sort of what's been done. And one of the things that Protect Our Care has been warning about and is communicating about these days is the fact that despite the fact it's been 13 years, despite the fact that Obamacare now is sort of ingrained in our American culture, it is just, it's a normal course of business. If you don't have employer-sponsored coverage, you go into the marketplace, you buy a plan, you can get a plan for as little as $10 a month. That's all, it's just the way we live now. Despite that, Protect Our Care is warning about ongoing efforts by Donald Trump and other Republicans to sabotage the Affordable Care Act. Why are we concerned that this could still be sabotaged after 13 years?
Well, because if, you know, depending on this election, outcome of this election, that's why elections are so important. If you want affordable health care, if you want your health care premiums to go down, not up, if you want the cost of drugs to go down, not up, The voters face a very clear choice. But if Donald Trump is already set on the stump, one of the first things he'll do is to try and repeal the Affordable Care Act. The MAGA members of the House and the Senate are lining up behind that. So, the MAGA Republicans are in charge of America, there's no doubt that they will take the side of the insurance companies and the drug companies and roll this all back.
One of the things I like to remind people is that I'm old enough to remember that during President Trump's 4 years in office, they got halfway to repealing the Affordable Care Act. And they were so pleased with themselves, they held a dang pep rally outside the White House with Paul Ryan and every Republican member of Congress who voted to repeal the Affordable Care Act. So Republicans controlled Congress. They had a Republican in the White House. How close did we get? What happened in the United States Senate to save the Affordable Care Act? Was it a slam dunk? Was it a big win? Or did we hang on by the skin of our teeth?
It was by the skin of John McCain's thumb that we, this country, kept the Affordable Care Act and all the benefits that
one vote,
get from it.
One vote.
At 2 o'clock in the morning. Let's not forget too, let's fast forward. We're in a situation now where not a single Republican in the Senate voted to lower drug prices. Not a single Republican in the Senate voted to cap the cost of insulin. Not a single Republican in the Senate voted to make health insurance more affordable for people. So this is not, in the past. Unfortunately, this could very much be in our future.
Yeah.
And, the people also, the Affordable Care Act does other things which people should never forget, which is 160 million people in America with pre-existing conditions who can get insurance today. That would be gone.
Can't be discriminated against. That's the thing. I'm old enough to remember, but barely, that in the before times, if you got sick, the health insurance company could just not anymore. We're not going to cover you anymore.
Yeah. And sick could be nothing. Doesn't mean you were near death.
Right. It's just crazy. So this matters, I think, in a way that people have yet to really tune into. And so, number one, all of the Affordable Care Act is at risk if former President Trump wins, if Republicans have control of Congress, and also the measures that Leslie was just talking about, the $35 a month insulin cap. Do we have any reason to expect that Republicans wouldn't also repeal everything in the Inflation Reduction Act?
Well, they've said that's their goal. And it's not only what Donald Trump talks about. It's, all the official organs of MAGA world who are putting out, their version of what America should look like when Trump wins. And all of this is included in there, not to mention gutting Medicaid, taking away protections for pre-existing conditions. I mean, they run they want to roll back everything that we've accomplished. And the American people have gotten used to kids who could be on their parents' insurance, parents who have a sick baby who otherwise would have left the hospital with a pre-existing condition and never be insured their entire lives.
Yeah.
These things will just come back to hit us again.
We have to believe these folks when they tell us who they are. And when we look at the 4 years of Trump the first time, every budget President Trump put forward proposed slashing Medicaid and Medicare. And so, people seem to like memory hole or forget this stuff. It is our job to remind folks what is at stake. As Leslie started off with, healthcare is a kitchen table issue. It matters. We've been talking with Leslie Dock. He's the president of Protect Our Care. We've got about a minute before the break. Leslie, any last words for people in terms of why this is so important and what they should be thinking about?
Just think about your own families, your own pocketbooks. Think about what happens when people are sick in your family. What happens to you when you can't afford the drugs you need to stay alive? And ask yourself whether you want to go back there.
Well said. That was Leslie Dock. Leslie, thank you so much for taking the time to visit with us today. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. I'm Joe Zepecki in for Jane. We're going to get to the text line after the break, 855-75-CIVIC. If you want to join the conversation, come on back after this. Thanks, Leslie.
See you.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute.
Today, I want to give you permission to stop buying something that you have probably been on the fence about anyway. Gift cards. Now, we all know why gift cards are popular. You can buy them anywhere, they're slightly personal, we're all short on time. What the heck do you buy a teenager anyway? But it turns out that gift cards are the nicest presents for the corporations that sell them. More than half of gift cards go unused. It's just free money for big companies. And over a third of shoppers who do use gift cards say the gift card was the only reason they even went into that store in the first place. And then most of us end up spending more than the gift card, on average $59 more. In short, gift cards are like giving somebody you love a $60 debt to go run an errand. Just give cash instead. You can always put it in a fancy envelope. That's today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube and take good care.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matinair on Air across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Joe Zepecki, in for Jane and Joe. Many thanks to Protect Our Care's Leslie Dock for joining us in the last segment. Many thanks again to State Senator LaTanya Johnson, the good Senator Johnson, for joining us to talk about her new column at the Recombobulation Area. That, of course, is our buddy Dan Schaefer. The column from Senator LaTanya Johnson is about voting rights, and you can find it at the recombobulationarea.news. The column by Senator LaTanya Johnson is, I've got it here. It's got to be here somewhere. There you go. Working toward a more perfect union, the crucial need for voting rights legislation. We've got one more segment here before the top of the hour. Going to get to the text line as promised. It's been a while since Jane had me on. I don't know. I thought I was off her Christmas card list or something. But here I am filling in. So it's Ask Joe Anything Day. If you have a question for me, you can hit us up on the text line. You can use the Civic Media app for that, or you can hit 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. The first question that rolled in this morning is from Ross in Crawford County. Thanks for listening, Ross. Wondering about what Trump would be able to accomplish if the Senate stays in the hands of the Democratic Party. What can he do via executive power on health care or immigration? Something like electric vehicle and electric power incentives. There's a couple things here. The first of which is, if Donald Trump wins, he will have immense power via the administrative state to influence the implementation of laws like the Inflation Reduction Act, like the Affordable Care Act. We know that during President Trump's first term, for example, the number of Americans on Obamacare plummeted by a couple million. And that's as simple as the federal government choosing not to do some of the proactive outreach and marketing to tell people, hey, it's an open enrollment period to sign up for healthcare and get covered. So no matter what the makeup of Congress is, Donald Trump, if elected and if president again, will be able to, what I would say is sort of hamper the implementation of some of these things, ranging from healthcare to other provisions in the Inflation Reduction Act, dealing with building out EV infrastructure, implementing some of the climate provisions of the Inflation Reduction Act. So with or without Congress, Trump is going to have the ability to impact that stuff, and people need to understand that. Now, the other part of this is, what about the Senate? What about the Congress? There's no guarantee that if Donald Trump wins, either house is a democratically controlled body. And so, particularly in the United States Senate, where the map for Democrats is terrible, absolutely terrible. Right now, we have a 50-50 split. Vice President Kamala Harris is the tiebreaker. So Democrats control Congress. Democrats are playing defense across the country, trying to hold on to seats in states that have been pretty red, like Montana, like Ohio, where you've got John Tester and Sherrod Brown, great incumbent U.S. senators in really, really tough states. If we lose those two seats on the Democratic side, it will be a Republican-controlled Senate. Even if those incumbent Democratic senators win re-election in tough states, we now have a wild card that nobody expected out of Maryland, where a very popular two-term governor, Republican Larry Hogan, might actually pull an upset in a blue state. And so there's no guarantee what the Congress is going to look like. And that's part of why people need to understand what Donald Trump is proposing to do if he wins. Because with or without Congress, and he's going to probably have at least one chamber of Congress if he wins, the implications for the American people are very real. This is not a game. There will be real world impacts. Thanks for the question, Ross. Hope that got to some of it. If you want to join the conversation, 855-75-CIVIC. Next up, we've got Cam from Nina with a report based on reporting from the courtroom in Manhattan. Blanche is making the argument currently that, and he's paraphrasing, because the proof of the crime wasn't destroyed, that means no crime was committed, because if it was, they would have destroyed the proof. Cam feels like he has a cat clawing at his cerebellum. I concur that that's a pretty crazy argument to make, that if we had committed a crime, we would have been smart enough criminals to destroy the evidence. The reality is, this is a paper case. And what that means is, it is not Michael Cohen or Stormy Daniels' word against the word of Donald Trump. How could it be against the word of Donald Trump? Because he refused to take the stand in his own defense. It's a paper case where there are actual physical documents that demonstrate the crime that was committed, which is that they wrote checks and said they were for one thing, and then in other places wrote down that they actually were for something else. That this wasn't about legal services to Michael Cohen. This was about withholding information from the American people. And, you know, it's like there's a saying in American politics, the cover up is worse than the crime. What it sounds like Blanche is arguing is like they would have covered it up had they known they broke the law. I don't think that's a defense. I don't find that particularly persuasive, but hey, that's just me. You are listening, of course, to Matt and Air on air across the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got a couple of more texts to get to in the next hour, and we will. And we'd appreciate some more. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Or you can text us through the Civic Media app. You might be listening to us over the air. Give us a call if you want. That's not just a text line. It is also a phone call. We'd love to hear your voice. We, as we wrap up this first hour, want to thank one more time State Senator LaTanya Johnson for joining us. Check out her column on voting rights at the Recombobulation Area, making the case for federal legislation, the Freedom to Vote Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act, both of which are co-sponsored by and supported by our own Senator Tammy Baldwin. LaTanya Johnson participated in a roundtable where they discussed that. She summarized that conversation and shared some of her thoughts in that column. And of course, we want to thank Leslie Dock for Protect Our Care, for really laying out some of the stakes when it comes to healthcare this election season. It is all on the line, folks. And that gets to Ross's question. We know one of two gentlemen is going to be president starting in 2025. It's going to be Joe Biden or it's going to be Donald Trump. Your choices are chicken or fish. The problem is the fish is poisoned with mercury, so you probably don't want to eat that. So thank you to Leslie. Thank you to you, the listeners. We've got one more hour to go. I'm Joe Zepecki in for Jane and Greg. Come on back for hour number two. We're not going anywhere. Before
you kill me. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, Florida's governor removes mentions of a changing climate from state law. A TV meteorologist was having none of that.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.